mean, I'm glad the awareness is there. Now it's just the education and policies.
The House passes a bill that could help protect student athletes, and energy projects get big money in the Senate Finance Committee's spending plan. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. Those stories and more up next. Senate budget writers included dozens of Southeast projects in their capital budget. The Senate Finance Committee released the Public Works spending plan Tuesday. Changes will likely be made as the committee, the full Senate, and the House review the $2.8 billion list of projects. Governor Sean Parnell has also suggested he would veto projects if his oil tax bill is not passed. A significant amount of money goes to energy development. $640,000 is planned for more research on local hydro concepts, including Connolly Lake, Shuby Lake, and Excursion Inlet. But that pales in comparison to larger projects throughout Southeast. $28.5 million would support expanding Sitka's Blue Lake Hydro Project, and about $9 million is dedicated to Ketchikan's Whitman Lake Project. A number of smaller projects target rural Southeast. About $1 million would go towards Angoon's Thayer Lake electrical development. Heidelberg's Reynolds Creek Project would get $2 million. And close to that amount would go toward upgrading Pelican's hydro system. The privately owned Juneau utility, Alaska Electric Light and Power Company, would also get $2 million for transmission line avalanche mitigation. Tourism projects funded by the passenger head tax total about $43 million. They include major work on cruise ship docks in Ketchikan and Juneau. Hoonah would also get a cruise ship berth. Another Southeast project is a waterfront commercial vehicle drive-down ramp for Petersburg at $1.8 million. Boatyard improvements for Wrangell are in for $3.7 million. School renovation projects include close to $18 million for four Juneau buildings and $10 million for Metlakatla Elementary. Other local projects that made the Senate Finance Committee's public works spending plan include $3.4 million for maintenance at Cluckwan School, $667,000 for Skagway Library expansion, about $500,000 for Haynes asbestos cement pipe replacement, and smaller amounts for Haynes vocational education building upgrades, Haynes High School gymnasium floor replacement, Haynes fire facility replacements, and Skagway City dock improvements. Contact sports are a big part of growing up in the Northern Lynn Canal, but they can be risky, too. It's been estimated that over 140,000 high school athletes across the United States suffer a concussion each year. Most of those do not involve a loss of consciousness, and some of those in the last year occurred on home courts. The state legislature is trying to protect more young brains with a bill that passed the House this week and now goes on to the Senate. The Alaska House of Representatives unanimously passed the Student Concussion Bill, designed to protect student athletes from serious brain injuries by requiring that a kid with a suspected concussion be removed from play or practice and not return until cleared by a qualified medical professional. But while local parents and coaches are pleased that elected officials are paying attention to this serious issue, some say there's a lot more to it.
The intention is good for kids to be taken out. The problem I have with it is requiring the qualified medical personnel.
Judy Erickson is the Glacier Bears volleyball coach. She's also on staff at the Haynesboro School District. But it's motherhood that has her so interested in preventing brain injury in student athletes. Her daughter, who turned 16 this week, experienced alarming dizziness and uncoordination while playing basketball this past season. That was days after she took a big spill while playing the game.
She was playing basketball and just went down in her back of her head. Hit the floor pretty hard. So, I mean, it happened, and then there was another one that got it, and they wouldn't let him come back to practice or play or anything because until they got a doctor's appointment, you know, or a week, set out a week. Well, a week wasn't enough for Riley, and after 2 weeks, like I said, we went in. It cost me several hundred dollars, and they said, oh, yeah, she's fine. The other doctor said, oh, well, it's not like girls' basketball is a contact sport anyway, so I'm sure she'll be okay. You know, and then she goes to practice and she's still dizzy and her head's, you know, you can't tell from looking on the outside.
Student concussions occur most frequently in football, no surprise there. But the shocker is that girls lacrosse, girls soccer, boys lacrosse, wrestling, and then girls basketball follow closely behind. In Erickson's case, costs racked up as mother and daughter pursued doctor visit after doctor visit, and eventually a CAT scan. That test came back clear, but her daughter never did return to playing for the Glacier Bears last season.
Well, I definitely, as a mother, would, if there's any question, they need to sit out. Any doubt, sit them out. That's what the HASA says, and I agree with that.
House Bill 15 was sponsored by Democratic Representative Mike Dugan of Anchorage, and it follows legislation passed by other states in recent years and now moves to the Senate. But it's unclear whether it's the government or the schools or the parents that'll tackle the pressures that athletes feel to keep playing through an injury or how to cover the costs of bringing medical personnel into the picture in Alaska's small towns.
We need to have better policies, and because what I've been finding out, you know, you have some parents that want their kid to stay in there and have the attitude, oh, you're okay, you know, get in there. And then the coaches, they're kind of caught between everything, between parents and wanting to win. And so it's really, you know, I don't know. You know, education, I mean, people just don't really still agree with it. And it's going to take a lot of education. You know, even though they passed the bill, schools have to have policies, coaches have to know about them, and parents have to be, I think, you know, the final one. I don't know how it's going to work. I'm glad the awareness is there. Now it's just the education and policies.
March was Brain Injury Awareness Month, and in recognition, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention's Injury Center launched a national Heads Up initiative, encouraging school professionals, coaches, parents, and athletes to learn concussion signs and symptoms. Materials on the subject, which also teach how to respond if a concussion occurs in youth sports, are at the CDC website at cdc.gov/concussion. Haines Animal Rescue Kennel has a new executive director, and if Steve Vick is as good with dogs as he is with dolphins, Hark is in good shape. The Haines Animal Rescue Shelter held its annual meeting recently, electing two new board members and updating membership on the past year's work. The most recent of them is hiring Steve Vick as executive director. He's also known as the Haines Dolphin Swim Coach and an elected member of the Haynesboro Assembly.
I think it's a great program, and I love the service they do. I've always supported them, and it was a few years ago that the actual job came open, and I always was looking for it to come open again. I was kind of eyeing that position because it seemed like a great way to serve the community. There's a lot of need for it, and it's something I have a passion for. I have pets of my own. I've always had pets, and I like working for nonprofits.
Nonprofit experience is all over Vic's resume. Most of his professional career has been working with them, including the Haines Dolphin Swim Team, the preschool, Lynn Canal Counseling, and social service agencies outside of Haines. And he's been a longtime friend of Hark.
I've contributed money. I've had dogs impounded there when they got loose one day. I've also, yes, I also donated a website to them a while back. And I've always tried to support in any way. I've got my dog's license there. When I had foster children, we would go and visit there. The kids just love to go into the cat room and visit the cats, so that became a regular thing. And just to have it available right around the corner was wonderful. I've washed my dogs there. I didn't even know they had that service until last year. And I have two shedding huskies, so took my dogs in, and what a fantastic job was done. So I definitely have utilized their services.
But the new start at Hark means an end for one of town's most popular sports teams, the Haines Dolphins, which Vic has coached for a decade.
I have to retire as the head swim coach for the Dolphins. It's going to be hard to be the executive director of one nonprofit and the program director of another nonprofit. I think that would spread me a little too thin and not serve either one well.
He says it feels more like a retirement than a resignation, and that it's time to move on to new things. The team's budget and number of swimmers doubled in the time he was coaching there, and the team has become one of the top fundraising teams in the country. Vic says he'll still be involved with the team as he's needed and as the Dolphins look for a new coach. At this point, Vic is working with the new Hark board and membership to set its goals for the shelter. They're hoping to focus on bringing more vet services to town, work on more community outreach, and offer training courses for animal owners.
I've talked with board members. I've talked with people in public on what currently is going really well and some of the goals they have for the future. I think we have a really great foundation. Previous executive directors have done a very good job of, one, getting the shelter built, of getting it very organized, of starting new programs, of maintaining all that's going on there. There's so much. I didn't even realize until after I applied how much was going on there. One of our goals definitely is to get that vet service. I think that's one of their top priorities for the board, one of the top ones for me, too. But we'd like to see more community outreach. There's potential to do school programs, to go into the school with animals, to teach kids about pet safety, pet care. We also were talking about, you know, quite a few things. It's a big list, but obviously these are just ideas at this point, and we'll see which ones take. But we want to do training programs for dogs, and one of the first things you'll probably see this summer is a puppy socialization group.
The shelter will continue their hours of operation, and services such as cat and dog nail clipping and bathing, euthanasia when necessary, and spaying and neutering. I'm Tara Bicknell, reporting for KHNS.